This is Border Crossings, radio's number one request hour. And now, your host, Larry London.
Hi, I'm Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings. On tour for a brand new album, we welcome Karen Waldrop to Washington, D.C. The new album is called Justified, and she's here in town to promote the album and meet some new fans and make some new friends. Welcome.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you here. Now, you're coming to us from where? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from South Louisiana, but I live in Nashville, Tennessee now, and I got on that airplane and flew here and rushed to the station and wanted to be here with you guys and hang out today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I read that you changed your plans just so you could do the show.
Yes.
But while you were sitting in the airport, you wrote on social media you were sitting across or in a pew from the Grand Ole Opry or something?
Yes. I just thought that was really crazy. I was waiting for the plane, and I looked down, and I realized that I'm sitting on a Grand Ole Opry pew that they had pulled from the Grand Ole Opry and given to Southwest Airlines. And I'm like, only in Nashville. It's like, heck yeah. So I got a picture because I thought it was neat. And I asked this random guy, I'm like, hey, can you take a picture of me? So he got a picture of it. But I thought that was pretty cool. You know, Nashville is filled with a wonderful history of country music. So I'm thankful to be a part of that.
Have you performed at the Grand Ole Opry yet?
No, but I want to. That's like my thing. That's like what I want to do. It's my goal.
That's just around the corner, I'm sure.
That's right.
Now, this isn't, you know, the new album Justified is not your first album. It's the first full studio album.
That's right.
But you put out a number of other EPs, I understand.
Yeah. So throughout my career, it's been like, you know, playing clubs or playing restaurants or playing venues and doing whatever it took to kind of pull together whatever funding it took to make a little EP, you know, a little 5-song thing. And this is the first time that I have a full 11-song record produced by Garth Fundis, who's a legendary producer. And it's a true collection of 11 songs that are, it's a true piece of art all in one album. And we spent all 2017 working on it. So it was not a joke. It was a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of fun, a lot of patience for me, but it's here, so I'm thankful for that.
And you wrote all the songs?
I wrote nine of 11. So there's two songs on the record that I did not write. One of them is I Hope You Dance, which was originally released by Leanne Womack.
Right, right. I remember
but that song kind of changed my life when I sang it on the internet, and so we thought it would be a nice thing for the songwriters, but also for the people who discovered me through that viral kind of my first 25 million view video to put it on the record. So that one, and then there's another one that was written by Lori McKenna, which I'm going to play today, and I didn't write that one either. So those are the only two.
Have you talked to Leanne Womack? And
you know, I haven't gotten to meet her, and I look forward to the opportunity to do that, because Mark Sanders and Tia Sellers wrote the song, and I've gotten to talk to them and talk about, you know, the power of that song. I've never heard a song that has such rich power as I Hope You Dance. And it's such an honor every time you sing it, because you're like, it's just like, wow, this song has affected people's lives across the world. And it's just, it's a song like I've never heard. So I got to talk to Mark Sanders and talk and get to sing with him. And I got to kind of find out about the history of the song and the book they wrote and all kinds of cool stuff about the song. But I've not gotten to meet Leanne Womack. So that's coming, I hope, as
coming
well
up soon, I'm sure. Another on the to-do list.
That's right.
Now, you grew up singing country music your whole life. This has been the... Why country music? And maybe that's because of Louisiana. Your roots there, kind of country music's very popular. Has this always been what your plan's been for your life?
Totally. When I was really young, I loved to sing. I've been singing my whole life like any singer. You know, we sing since we're really young. But then whenever I was about 16, I started playing guitar, and I was really inspired by the Dixie Chicks, because they had a lot of rich harmonies and kind of a folk sound and songwriter-ish sound. And that's when I started to write songs, because I heard them and I was like, okay, that is really amazing and wonderful and full. And I want to create that. And so I started writing when I was 16, and then playing guitar, practicing. And then it wasn't until I was in college and I had graduated from college that I said, you know, I gotta go somewhere. I went to college in University of Southern Mississippi. Course, right? Southern school, gotta do it.
What were you studying?
Marketing.
Perfect.
And honestly, that's really worked well for me, because I've been able to apply it. You know, I could never imagined that there would be so much of that in this business, but especially with social media.
Yes.
There's
and
a
you're
lot
very
of it.
Big on social media.
Thank you. Yeah,
I see you do a lot of tweeting and keeping in touch with people and posting things. Hey, that's the key thing now. So the internet's been very instrumental in your career.
Very much so.
So, you know, what do you think of the internet today? And in comparison to the songwriters and singers from 20, 30 years ago that didn't have the internet, do you think today is easier or harder than it was then?
You know, I think it's harder to be great now than it's ever been, but I think it's easier to be really good. And so for us artists that want to create music and live it in a way that's very kind of casual and fun and laid back, and it doesn't have this pressure of like perfection to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a much better world because we're able to just put the music out there in an organic way, play it for people. You know, it doesn't always have to be this perfectly produced piece of art. It can just kind of, you know, I do a weekly series called Waldrop Wednesday, and every Wednesday I do just a one take video of me, just like I'm sitting here today, just singing a song. And these videos get anywhere between 500,000 to 30 million views a piece.
Wow.
And it's like never before in history could you just do that.
Right.
Like you could never do that before. And the power of people sharing the content is really what's helped me. You know, it's the people who hear it and they listen to it, sure. But when they share it, it's almost like they're like a cheerleader for me and for my music. And so it just kind of gets in the interwebs, and then it just keeps kind of going and going until every day. It never stops.
Have you ever thought about being an actress? Is that something that you want
to do? That's so funny you said that, because we're actually working on a music video right now for a song on this record called Sometimes He Does, which I'm going to play today. And we are doing a music video in a farmhouse. It's a very country video. It's my favorite song I've ever heard in my whole life. It was written by Lori McKenna. I heard it on MySpace in Utah like 7 years ago. And I just fell in love with the song. And so flash forward, Mark Sanders with I Hope You Dance texted her and said, hey, you know, Karen Waldrop really wants Sometimes He Does. So we're filming a music video in a farmhouse, and we have an actor, and I have to act the lead role. And so that's a challenge for me, you know, because I haven't really done that much acting. But I think it's important for this song for me to really own it in order for it to get the emotional pull that the song deserves. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do it. We'll see how it goes.
You're on stage singing your songs that you wrote, and these are stories that you've lived or observed. There's a lot of acting there, too. There's a lot
That's
of emotion
true.
That has to come out into the songs to make the songs effective and kind of hit the mark, so
That's
to speak.
That's true. So, totally true. But, so maybe you're right. Maybe I've been acting more than I even
realized. Acting your whole life, and you didn't realize it. Karen Waldrop's with us, and if you wouldn't mind doing a song, we'd love to hear some live
Absolutely.
Music. What's this one called?
This one's called Slow and Easy. I wrote this song with a friend of mine, Anthony Smith. I had been at a marina, and my friends had left, and they told me that we were all going to go to the marina and listen to the band. So they forgot to tell me that they left and that they weren't going to the marina to listen to the band. So here I am sitting there by myself listening to this band, and I heard them play a song which I call a belly rubbing song. It's like when couples get up and dance. And I said, I need one of those songs. So I wrote this one. It's called Slow and Easy.
Simple and breezy. You're gonna it slow. Just make it slow and easy.
Wow. Woo. Whoa. Gosh.
Thank
Goosebumps.
Thank you very much. Beautiful. Thank you.
Wow.
I feel like that song was kind of inspired too by like being from South Louisiana and having kind of like that bluesy thing going on, you know, which I think is important. And I feel like that song was really, Okay, here we go. And I feel like that song was really inspired by being from South Louisiana because South Louisiana kind of has that bluesy, soulful thing. And on the track on that song, there's a saxophone. So it's kind of a cool, weird thing for country music to have a saxophone, but the saxophone's always in style, no matter what genre and no matter when. It's always in style. So,
so who gives you inspiration? Who do you like to listen to? Who inspires that voice of yours? Wow.
Thanks. You know, I do. I listen to a lot of like Otis Redding and like, you know, Shania Twain. I'm kind of all over the map. You know, I listen to a lot of Tina Turner, Janis Joplin, Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, Miranda Lambert. You know, I feel like I'm a little, you know, eclectic when it comes to like my listening of music because I can pull, you know, I can listen to rap music and pull cool, like, wow, I love that lyrical writing or whatever. So I don't know. I think I'm just an appreciator of music and all different forms, but mainly artists who really like bring it, you know, especially on stage. That's like what I love.
So when you're in the car or you're in the shower, might we hear you singing a Rihanna song?
Yes, very much. I'm like listening to Rihanna and Beyonce while I'm like getting my outfits ready and getting ready for shows and stuff. So yeah. Wow. And I love hip hop and R&B. So I'm kind of all over the place, but when it comes to country music, I really like the songwriter and I like the female artist who brings it on stage, you know, like Miranda Lambert, artists like that. So.
And you were on tour with Rodney Atkins, I read somewhere.
I opened for him. I wasn't on tour for him, but I've been blessed, you know, to get to open for different country artists during my career. And that's really special when you get to do that because it's almost like they let you borrow their fans for a minute. Mm-hmm. And every time, you know, I don't take it for granted. I really appreciate that because when you get to open for someone else, you're standing in front of their fans.
Right, right.
You have that one moment to really, you know, make it count. So I love that. That's always a really great opportunity.
And it's amazing. Looking at all you've accomplished, 150 plus million streams and everything else that goes on in your life and all the awards you've won and been nominated for, and you've been in the top five at, I think it was CMT, Country Music Television, everything that you've achieved already, and you just put out your debut studio album.
Thank you for saying that. Thanks.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, that also has to be a bit of pressure, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but more like I'm just excited, you know, like I've been making music for so long and, you know, I've been playing bars and scraping pennies together to make studio recordings. And now it's like, it feels like the pressure's actually off because now I have a collection of music that I'm really proud of. Mm-hmm. And music, the cool thing about music is that you make the music that you're proud of and then you get to go out in the world and play it. And if people don't like it, then it's like, that's fine because it's music. So it's art. So it's subjective. You can like it or you cannot. Mm-hmm. But this record is very, unique when it comes to country music. I call it nostalgically new. It's like throwback country because there's steel guitar on it. There's horns on it. Mm-hmm. But yet still lyrical country content that's fresh and new. So, you know, we went all out, you know, I wasn't afraid to take a risk. And I think any true artist is going to do that, is going to be themselves. And this record sounds like me. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's great.
And if people like it or not.
Justified. Why did you decide that would be the best title to represent the big debut album?
Yeah. What a great question. I dated this guy a couple years ago and he was in love with this teacher that worked next to them. They were dance teacher and music teacher. And she was married and he was not. He was dating me, but I didn't know that they were in love with each other. It was really weird. But anyway,
country story.
I know, right? Right. Totally a country song. But anyway, flash forward, she felt really bad. So we went out to dinner and she paid for the wine and stuff. And we were sitting at the Cheesecake Factory and she said, I thought we were just friends. I thought it was just texting, but it was justified. Oh. And I was like, yeah.
There it is.
That's the title.
The aha moment.
And then I went and wrote a song inspired by that like idea. And then I just scratched it because I was like, nobody cares about that. People care about positive music. And so I had to write the title track of this record three times before I was happy. I wrote the first version and it wasn't the record song. You know, it could be for someone else or later in my life. But right now I was looking for that waving the white flag going, hey, y'all, we did this. We did this in a way that's different. And in from what I'm doing, it's definitely different. You know, we're taking advantage of the Spotify's and the Alexas of the world and the streaming and the Facebook live streaming. And I think if you want to be a leader, you got to go first.
Right, right, right. Well, you're at the right place at the right time.
Thanks.
And, you know, like I said before, you're doing great things. And one of the things that I read was that you had a chance to sing the national anthem at a NASCAR race.
Oh, yeah.
Which for a singer, I mean, for the first time doing it in a large venue when you have the echo.
Yes.
I just read somebody forgot the lyrics. Somebody, you know, famous, you know. So it's got to be
so much pressure.
Yeah, yeah. There you are. NASCAR, the world is watching and... You're on.
That's right. And NASCAR was funny, too, because it was so loud on the track that, like, I didn't want to talk to anybody because I knew I was about to be live on ESPN. And so everyone that saw me probably thought I was rude because I was just, like ignoring them, not talking to them. But it went from, like, super loud to super quiet and all eyes on me in, like, 2 seconds. But
wow.
It's neat. Anytime you get to sing the national anthem, it's an honor. And I try to do the melody exactly the way it was written. Mm.
And you've got a song that appeared in a film, too.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We did a Scales film. And I'm like at the point where I just like I'm willing to kind of try whatever because I'm independent. So it means I don't have a record label.
Right.
And so my support financially comes from 500,000 people that are on Facebook. So they'll support through buying merch or they'll come to gigs or they'll buy VIP passes or they'll do whatever they do. But that's how I fund this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a really, yeah, so I'm kind of in like the risky, try it, whatever, you know, place right now in my career. It's like you can kind of do whatever you want. Mm.
But you're on tour as well.
Yes.
I mean, you're promoting the new album and all of the other music you've released. So I was looking at the tour schedule, and one of the places I think is the Virgin Islands.
Yes. What? We're going to play the 1 year in September. We'll be playing the 1 year anniversary of the hurricane damage and helping to raise more money. And we're playing that show, and I get to go scuba diving. So I love scuba diving. So when they said Virgin Islands and you get to scuba dive, I said, all right.
You're
so
in.
So I'm in. I got it.
Karen Waldrop is our guest here on Border Crossings today. Would you do another song for us?
Absolutely. The record on presale comes with a grat track. So it's a song that comes right now. And so we decided to go with the super country track on that and give that one away first. And this one's called What Goes On In This Bar Stays In This Bar, inspired by the phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it goes like this. What goes on? Stop. Doctors, farmers, teachers, lawyers, criminals, and cops. It's a psychotherapeutic kind of hillbilly recipe to this perfectly dysfunctional neon family. 'Cause what goes on in this bar stays in this bar. You can hang their work. Social climbers sit and sip their wine and dig up dirt. Guys on benders, lost weekenders, people drinking lunch. We all get along just fine, except we can't remember much. 'Cause what goes on in this bar stays.
What goes on in this bar stays in this bar. You can hank and swang and drink and sing, and you can be just who you are. There's honky tonk amnesia, we're all sipping in a jar. What goes on in this bar stays in this bar. What goes
Karen Waldrop here live on The Voice of America. Justified is the album. So when you're writing songs, I mean, these ideas come to you from people you're watching or your experience of what you're living or both? I mean, where do the ideas
come from? Kind of everything. You know, mm-hmm. We write songs from, you know, we'll be somewhere and we'll hear something and we'll jot it down in our notes, you know, real quick. And then later, for me, I usually write it down real quick. And then later I'll just have a list of ideas and then I'll sit down and write. And then sometimes God will just kind of give it to you and you'll just be like, okay, God. And you'll just sit down and just write it all right now. Like right now, no matter where you're going, you have to sit down and you have to do it. Because sometimes it just floods in. It depends. You know, every song's different. Mm-hmm. That song, What Goes On in This Bar Stays in This Bar, I had written it with Ed Hill and Donnie Skaggs in the middle of the country one day. And I just thought it was kind of silly. I was like, yeah, you know, right. I'm not going to do that song probably like ever. And I hadn't even played it live. I just never played it. And I sat down with Garth Fundus and he went through my whole catalog. And when he heard it, I was like, yeah, this one we probably won't use. You know, it's just like this silly bar song. And he's like, that song is great. What goes on in this bar stays in this bar. And so I'm like, all right. And then sure enough, it ended up being the first song we put out because we thought it would be fun to just grab people's attention, mm-hmm. let them know that the record is positive music. It's not really that serious. It's just positive, inspirational music that makes people feel good. That was our goal. That was our mission. And I learned the power of that through what happened with I Hope You Dance. Mm-hmm. When it went viral, you know, people were reaching out to me telling me how much it affected their lives and how much it affected their energy and their families. And I just went, you know, I want my record to do that. I want my record to be positive, you know. Mm-hmm. So we didn't cut a single heartbreak song. And, you know, I had 100 of them. We just stuck with music that would make people feel good and that would be fun to play live and just keep it simple. Hmm.
Do you ever go back and look at the first song you wrote?
Oh, yeah.
And say, what was I thinking? Or, you know, I had no experience in love and much, you know, life, but there it is.
Yep. And my first song I ever wrote was called Sweet Kiss.
Sweet Kiss.
Sweet Kiss.
My goodness.
I was like 16 years old and I wrote Sweet Kiss. Wow. And it's sweet, you know, it's cool. Yeah, I probably wouldn't sing that now, but you know.
And you were on Nashville Rising, right? You were a finalist, I think.
Yes, I was.
On the TV show.
You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that whole experience must have been interesting to compete on one of those music type shows.
Yes, absolutely. And I think as an artist, you know, you just take little steps, you know, like I think as an artist, you kind of think when, oh, I'm going to move to LA or I'm going to move to Nashville, or I'm going to move whatever city that you're moving. And you kind of expect it to happen in a certain way. And then it happens in such a different, unpredictable way. And then you look back and it's like each little thing was kind of its own little step, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like right now we're stepping into Justified record, you know. But yeah, I mean, just along the way, being on Bravo TV back in 2011 or whatever it was, doing the Nashville Rising Star, you know, the connections that I made, mm-hmm. those turned into writing connections or connections with my producer or connections with my band or whatever. And it just kind of like a snowball at the top of the hill. It just keeps rolling. And I believe that as an artist, if it's continuing to sustain itself and if it's continuing to grow, then you know you're doing the right thing.
Wow. Do you know where you were when you remember when you heard your first song on the radio? The first time you heard yourself?
You know what? I think it was when I was in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Ireland.
We were in Ireland playing and the Irish station was playing it. And I was like, oh my God, we were like out in the middle of nowhere. And that was really pretty exciting.
Do you do a lot of international touring?
I go wherever God calls me. You know, I've played in Spain. I've played in Ireland. I've played in France. I've played in Central America. Belize. Wow. I just go kind of wherever.
You get inspiration for songs from your travels?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hmm. And Warm in Your Sunshine is a song on this record. And I got that idea in France one day because this girl said it's always warm when the sun shines and it's always cold when the clouds roll by. And I wrote that down. And then sure enough, when I sat down with Brett Jones, the writer of that song, he goes, no, it's always warm in your sunshine. And I was like, oh yeah, you got it. He goes, it's never cold when the clouds roll by. It's always warm. I'm like, you got it. So we kept it real positive.
You do so many different things now. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a product of the way the industry works these days. You have to be your own social media manager. You're running your own record company and your career, and you have to write songs, you have to record songs, you have to tour and all the different things you have to do. What happens when the majors call and they say, we're going to take some of this control away? Are you going to be able to let go a little bit or no? How's that going to feel for you?
I think it's one of those things where, you know, I'm at a point where I just kind of am going, and I really do, I believe and I trust in my fan base. We call them Waldrop Worldwide. We have a gang symbol and everything, Waldrop Worldwide.
Yeah, the W's.
It's a three, yeah. Waldrop Worldwide. And so with that rapid growth, you know, we're growing so, our family, I call it a family because I don't like to use the word fan. I hate that word. But our Waldrop Worldwide family is growing so much every single day that I'm just like, you know, this is the way that it was meant to happen for me. So if a major contacted me and wanted to work with me, then that would just be a whole new conversation. Mm-hmm. But right now it's just, it's a really pleasant, positive, happy place. And people, I think, can feel it. And I think our community is really positive.
We need positivity right now.
Right?
We can use some.
Right. I think right now it's, you know, the game, name of the game is streaming. I mean, streaming is so, so huge for 2018. If you can get your fans to stream and share, that's a really strong way to grow. So that's our effort right now.
So that's the plan for the future, touring and streaming.
Yep, and singing.
and singing.
And video content every week.
You worked very hard on this album. You mentioned it took a long time. You took your time with it. So it's great that it's finally here. How did you mark the special day? How was July 13th celebrated for you?
Right. We actually had mixed and mastered this record back in January, but we really wanted that right partner to get it distributed and get it out to the world. And so we had a couple different offers. And so it took us a couple months to pick Fuel. We went with the Fuel Music is the one we went with. And we just liked them. We thought they were innovative and different. And they've proven to be, you know, doing a patriotic track and playlist. And just, so we just liked them. So once it became time to go with them, then it was very obvious. It was just like, okay, well, that's what we want to do. And so we looked, okay, how many weeks do we need to promote? Bam, we're going to go with July 13th. Well, then, ironically, I had a, you could call it a client. It's not really a client. It's a buyer that buys shows from us.
Sure.
And they happen to be in town. So they contacted and said, hey, do you guys want to go to dinner tonight? And so I'm like in the midst of my craziness. And I'm like, yes, sure. I'll meet you guys. Yeah, we'll go to dinner. So they took us to this, like, beautiful 5-star hotel in Nashville. And that was where I told him, I was like, well, I'm kind of using this as my celebration moment. So we celebrated with a really nice 5-star meal. And it was very much a moment that I'll never forget that night. And it was kind of random, but we celebrated.
Amazing. You know, you have, of course, the EPs, but when the first full length studio album comes out, that's a huge monumental moment in any artist's career.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, congratulations.
Well, we're going to celebrate for real when the record does well.
Okay. Well, yeah, when it hits number one,
that's right,
which is any day now.
That's right.
So congratulations to you on that. And as far as the touring goes, that's the plan for the future. And how about collaborations? Anything, anybody you'd like to work with on your wish list that you haven't yet had a chance to record with or write with?
Oh, yeah. I would love to record with Aaron Lewis. I've been working on him. I'm like, come on, Aaron Lewis, come on. Do a song with me. I love his voice. I love his style. I love his tone. I love listening to him live. He's amazing.
Aaron Lewis, the rock singer?
Yeah.
From Stained?
Yeah, but he's a country artist now.
Oh, that's true. A lot of people
I just opened for him. Yeah, that's how I know this.
Darius Rucker, many of them have
come
over to the
countryside.
Darius
Rucker, super nice guy.
Yes.
Would love to collaborate with him. Shania Twain. Would love to collaborate with Shania Twain, my girl. I'm going to see her live in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, and I do collaborations with other artists in Nashville. You know, we do in our Waldrop Wednesday content. We do that, but they're also, you know, artists that are up and coming, you know, so I haven't had an opportunity to do one at that level, like working with Shania Twain.
Well, that's coming. I know it's coming. You're too good. I know it's coming. You got a great voice.
And thank you so much.
Tremendously talented. Karen Waldrop is in our studios. One more song. Can I squeeze one more song from you?
Absolutely. I would love to.
What song are you going to sing for us?
This is my favorite song from the record. This song is an honest love song. It was written by Laurie McKenna, which is my favorite songwriter. And I discovered this song on MySpace in like a long time ago in Utah. And I fell in love with it, and I loved it for years and years and would listen to it all the time. And I just thought it was so great. And I never dreamed that I would be able to record it. Like, I just didn't even think it was an option. And so the fact that I got it, and the fact that it's on my record, and the fact that we're making a music video for CMT, wow. It's just, it's really special. And the most special thing about the song is that it's so abstract that when you hear it, you're kind of at the edge of your seat and you're kind of going, what's going on? You know, what is going on here? You kind of don't really understand it. So you have to really listen. And that's really fun to play live because the room is quiet and you can hear a pin drop when you sing it live. And it's just really fun. And everyone's just kind of like, it's an honor every time I get to sing this song because of what it means to me, but also what I know it's doing for others when they hear it. So sometimes he does.
Well, he's not listening when I tell him how my day went. He didn't notice that I've got a new dress on. He didn't walk up behind me just to kiss me in the kitchen the moment he got home. He won't tell me that I'm beautiful when I'm sitting on the bed tonight in a t-shirt with no makeup on. But I stay because sometimes he does. And sometimes he loves me more than I deserve to be loved. And sometimes he's more than a heart like mine could ever dream of. He didn't write a love letter to me on a little scrap of paper that he found in the front seat of his car. He didn't bring in backyard flowers or call me darling as we laughed at them sitting in a jar. Tonight he won't talk about the TV lights dancing in my brown eyes just before he takes me in his arms. But I stay because sometimes he does. And sometimes he loves me more than I deserve to be loved. And sometimes he's more than a heart like mine could ever, ever, ever give up. Tonight he didn't make me feel like I'm the only woman in the world. He didn't say my name in a whisper so sweet. Tonight he didn't make me forget all the trouble in my heart or teach me what the word hallelujah means. But I stay because he really does. Yes, I stay, yes, I stay, yes, I stay, yes, I stay, because sometimes he does.
Wow, 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 wow. Karen Waldrop, that's a name we're going to be hearing a lot of in the future. Justified is the album. Where can people find you, find the album, give us your social media sites so that people
absolutely
can connect with you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for doing this. I know you changed your whole travel plan to be here, so thank you for that.
Of course. I found out I could come here and I was like, yeah, switch the flight, whatever. And who cares what I was
again,
doing?
Please. Please
thank
come back
you.
Again.
Yeah, you can get the record at KarenWaldrop.com/store if you want an old school physical signed copy. Or if you want to stream it, you can check it out on Spotify, Alexa, iTunes, to download or to stream. It's really in all digital music stores. Mm-hmm. Anywhere, really, just Google.
And your Facebook and Twitter, so people can
reach my Facebook is Karen Waldrop. Just search Karen Waldrop and you can find me. Twitter, Karen Waldrop. And then Instagram is Karen Waldrop Music is my handle. And I haven't really been having fun with Instagram lately. That's kind of a new thing. I've been like the queen of Facebook for a while, but I'm really loving Instagram too these days.
Well, we love your music, and thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
What a pleasure. The album is Justified. Karen Waldrop has been our guest, and this is Border Crossings on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's first and only all music request hour, Border Crossings.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and we welcome you to Border Crossings. Today, we welcome an Irish singer-songwriter who's on tour for his brand new album, album number 3. It's called Sweet Decay. Kieran Lavery is here with us from Ireland. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here in the United States and in Washington, D.C. How's the journey been so far?
It's been okay. I picked up a minivan from the rental company, which was, you know, it's a nice idea if you've got like a 5-piece or 6-piece band, but it's literally just me. So I've done that, you know, I've so much room that I've started just unpacking all of my things and designated, you know, shirts get a seat, shoes get a seat. So I've tried to make a family out of it, but it's all right.
That's great. Yeah. How long have you been in the US?
Just a few days on this trip. I'm going to be here for, I think, around just short of 2 weeks altogether. So
Wow. That's not much time.
No, it's really not. It's really not. I do a lot of traveling as well. So I get to see a lot. Mm-hmm. And I get to be in the comfort of the minivan. So
big vans.
Yeah. I can't complain.
So Sweet Decay, the name of the third album. It sounds like more something you'd hear in a dental office than an album. Why did you decide to call your album Sweet Decay? What's the story behind this new album?
Well, I guess initially I wanted to go in this time without a general theme. I've always sort of had a theme when I went in to make an album, and anyone who goes into create an album, you kind of want to have a story or something that people can latch onto by the end of it, and then it's like a movie or it's like anything. There has to be a start, middle, and end, and a narrative, I guess. But with this, I didn't really want to have anything from the outset that would determine the type of journey that the album would go on. I just kind of wanted to really concentrate on the lyrics and see then where that led me by the end. So as the album went on, I realized that there were kind of themes that kept cropping up to do with either, you know, there's good amount of death in it, there's a nice amount of darkness and light contrast, and I sort of thought, you know, with that sort of juxtaposition of hope and hopelessness, I had written the title track a long time before, actually, and I just dug it out and I thought, you know what, this almost, I can probably prop this up and let the rest of the album just sort of formulate around it. So whenever I'd written the song Sweet Decay, it wasn't with the intention of that being either the name of the album or it even being on the record itself. But I think with the rest of the songs kind of having a very sympathetic, message, then it made sense for not only for that to make the album, but also to be the title track and then the name of the record itself. It sort of seemed to sum everything up, I guess.
Mm-hmm. We've got Kieran Lavery in our studios, who's here in the United States, promoting a new album. We're going to peel the layers of the onion away and get to learn more about Kieran and what makes Kieran tick, and musically, what's the story behind the dark part of this album and the death and all that. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask if you'd do a song for us.
Sure. I'm going to play a track from the record called Wicked Teeth.
All right, Wicked Teeth. Thank you.
though you watch me from afar, you've been standing there for days. Will you wait till I'm alone? Then you'll come take me away. I see you sharpening your claws, and I can feel them in my sleeve. And I hear you bated breath, and it's hard against my cheek. But would you sink your wicked teeth? Would you lock your jaws down tight? Would you let my blood run sweet? Take me off into the night. But I feel you hesitating. It's like the timing isn't right. But would you sink your wicked teeth? Would you lock your jaws down tight? Would you let my blood run sweet? Take me off into the night. Would you sink your wicked teeth? Would you lock your jaws down tight? Would you let my blood run sweet? Take me off into the night. Take me off into the night.
Very nice. Lovely. Now, I'm interested to know how you made the transition. You had mentioned earlier that you grew up kind of influenced by punk. Mm-hmm. And this is certainly not punk that you're doing now. So how did you decide on the sound and style of music that you represent?
Well, it was almost a decision made for me by my hands, in that I realized that I could not play the electric guitar for the life of me. I really wanted to, but I just could not get the grasp of it. I'm not trying to seem as if I'm self-deprecating, but I'm quite a messy player, mm-hmm. and I guess I was. I really wanted to be, you know, Tom Morello. I wanted to be, you know, Rage Against the Machine. I wanted to be able to do all that stuff. But I didn't, I had like neither the patience or the natural ability to be able to become that person. So mm-hmm. very quickly I found solace, I guess, in the acoustic guitar. And I liked the idea of being able to be quiet. And around that time, like I'd mentioned my brother-in-law earlier, but he was a huge influence on the type of music that that I listened to through my teen years. Because even though I was full of anarchy and punk rock and hip hop at one side, and you know, and trying to reject everything, he would have thrust these songwriters from like the 60s, 70s, even 50s, and. So he would have, you know, dropped different CDs mm-hmm. around my house with little post-its like Hank Williams and Joni Mitchell and stuff like that, and just kind of said, you know, listen to track 7, 9, 10, and then it would be like, and come back to me, and I will know if you haven't listened to these. And so it was almost like a minor threat. So I ended up, you know, I had to do my homework on them, and I remember being so nervous because the first time I heard Neil Young, I just didn't get it. Mm. And I think I was 14 or 15, and I thought, what is this voice about? I don't understand. And I thought, how am I going to go back to my brother-in-law and say, I don't like this? So I just avoided him for weeks and listened to it all of the time. Mm-hmm. And eventually it clicked. I mean, it's like all those sort of great songwriters when you know, you have a conversation with some people about like Townes Van Zandt, and some people say, right. You know, he can't really sing or whatever, but there is just something that it either clicks with you and you get it, or, you know, you're never going to get it. So, so yeah, I ended up just really falling in love with songwriters and around that same time, I've got a little bit more comfortable with the acoustic guitar and then, you know, lyrics have always been my thing, I guess, from that point moving forward. I've always been a lyric guy, you know, where some people will, you know, wait until the beat drops. I'll be waiting until the next lyric hits, you know, which, you know, it's not great for parties, but. You know.
So would you say your greatest strength then is the songwriting? If you had to pick a part of the business that you liked most, would it be the singing? Would it be the songwriting process or maybe the touring and performing? What do you like most about the business?
I love to write. You know, I really like the challenge of being able to, you know, to text something. There's something quite, I guess there's a certain sense of fulfillment in being able to take an idea and then to fill it out. And, you know, by the end of it, I guess it's like anything, it's a bit like Frankenstein where you work on this thing and then by the end you have this, either a beautiful monster or a monster of some sort of shape. So, and, you know, every song, I guess, to a certain extent, is an extension of what either how I am right at that present moment whenever I'm writing. So, or it's something that I've felt before. So there's some sort of connection with me, which I always love. So I cherish each song that I have, and I remember a lot of them. I don't remember all of them, but... I like that process of being able to work something out to the best of my ability. And then I think being able to share it then is always the next best thing, you know, where, because there is no point in me coveting all of my songs and thinking I'm the greatest songwriter ever, but I'm not letting anyone hear it, you know? So that, I guess that's the acid test is always when you release into the public. And then, I really enjoy when people talk to me about what the song means to them, because that's something that I think universally music has this strange power that it could be one person in a room writing a very personal thing, but, you know, someone from the other side of the world hears it, connects with it, they take it, you know, a very personal kind of path with it, and then they use it in their life, which is, you know, you don't know the other person, which I find completely amazing, because it's the equivalent of, you know, you have a diary, I read your diary and I think this is me, you know, that's basically right. What it's like. So, I guess it connects us all in a certain way. That's the sort of beautiful part of it, I think.
It is a kind of mind boggling when you think about, you know, you write a song and it does transcend distance. I mean, and you know, culture and whatnot, people of all ages and all cultures are listening to your music and touching people in many different ways. Would you do another song for us?
Sure. I'm going to move across to the
guitar. Sure, come on back. And this one's called?
This is called Wells Tower Song. So it's an author. I read a lot of short stories whenever I was in the process of making the last record. And I came across this collection of stories by an author called Wells Tower, who I think that's the only collection that he's written. So I wrote this song about it.
And with that, the season draws a close. My lips are stained with fairy well alcohol, and I know you're closer than your name. Are we bound by love or the summer rain? I'll never know. Lie suit around the heart again. Let me go. Locked out of the apartment, taking pictures in the snow. Ooh, everything ravaged. Everything earned, let me go. Locked out of the apartment, you're just a figment in the snow.
Very nice. Kieran Lavery is our guest. And so how can people get in touch with you, and how can they buy the album and find you online and your tour schedule, websites, social media?
Everything's like everything else in the world. Everything's online. So you can go to my website, which is kieranlaverymusic.com, and all the tour dates are there. The social media links, all the Twitter, Instagram, all the overexposure and all of that stuff.
Well, we thank you for coming on the show. Thanks, you got some, is that song lyrics, your artwork on your arms? Is that?
That's actually, that's the advice that my father gave me and my brother. That's his handwriting as well, actually.
Wow.
So I got him to write it down on a bit of paper, and then I went and got it tattooed, because it's something that he told us from we were children, that whenever we were stepping out into the world to be your own man, as
be
it were.
Man.
So
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. So
you got something a little longer on the other arm.
Yes, I have.
Oh my goodness, that's
this one. There's
some kind of game going on there.
Yeah. This is a part of a poem by Charles Bukowski called "Roll the Dice."
Okay.
So that's the first tattoo I got when I think I was about 20 or 21. But it's nice. It's sort of the whole poem is basically, you know, if you're going to try, go all the way, you know, and it talks about all the different things that you need to give up in order to chase the goal that you ultimately want. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more time, the website address for people around the world.
It's kieranlaverymusic.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Sweet Decay is the name of the new album, album number 3. Kieran Lavery, our guest today. And this is Border.